The following program contains mature subject matter and is for listeners 18 years or older. Discretion is advised. All views expressed are solely those of the person who said them. We are not doctors. Advice is intended for novelty purposes only. Hi, I'm Dylan. Along with Cooper, Kylie, Tyler, and Sasha, we explore opening our eyes to new possibilities. How we got here, how we stay here, where we go from here, and how you can find your way to an exciting, pleasurable, but sometimes intimidating world is what we're here for. Pull up a swing and explore a sex-positive examination of love, relationships, and the world around us. Welcome to Life on the Swing Set.
Hello and welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. We are here for episode 6, Those Are the Rules. I'm Cooper, and with me in the studio here today is...
This is Sasha Darling. Hello.
This is Dylan.
Kylie.
And today we are talking about rules for swinging and how to set up those rules and how to delineate those rules and how to make them work for you and when to know how to break them, which is actually one of the most important things about them, I'd say. So, without further ado, I'm going to ask you all, what was your first lifestyle rule? How about that? I'm going to turn it over to Dylan.
Spin the wheel. Oh, hey, it's me. All right. I'd say really the first rule was that Tonya and I had to be the last people with each other at the end of the night. I know
so
that's,
you do the reclamation sex thing.
Yes, yeah. I know we talked about it, I think, in episode 4. And yeah, that was an important one. We ended up thinking that was the only rule we had to do, and we were wrong. We ended up coming with a couple other small ones. For example, we needed to let each other know before we were going to do anything. Like, we didn't necessarily have to ask for approval. You know, I mean, I know that we have the ultimate veto on each other if we wanted to, but I think we're good enough with each other where it's really just we want to let each other know so that we don't accidentally stumble on something. And the other one would be, you know, let each other know what we did. And so it's really just communication stuff, you know, plus the reclamation rule.
How about you, Kylie? What was your first lifestyle rule? I know you started with threesomes, so it might be a little different for you guys. But I'm sure there were rules discussed before that threesome happened.
Actually, there wasn't. That's where, because we were young and stupid, that we kind of like, oh, let's do it. And we kind of just dived in, which, because there was no rules established, you know, they may have been kind of roughly referenced, but never actually talked and established that there was a lot of fights that came up because of it. So I think once we did sit down and actually hammer out, the big thing is, you know, openly honest with each other as far as, you know, we're going to do this, you know, because right now I'm sharing a studio with Dylan and, you know, so I'm going to go home and tell my fiance, yeah, we just did this and we just sat here and just kind of get a run by of what we did. I don't have to say, you know, first he put his hand here and then he put his hand here, but just kind of let him know what happened. And we always meet couples as a couple on the first time basis. You know, we may do introductions as far as online, as far as I'll do it or he'll do it, but when we meet the couple, we want to meet them as a couple. The first time that we hook up with them, it's as a couple. And we've had to establish a new rule just recently because we will full swap outside of each other, meaning I will go over to the guy's house or the girl will come over to his house and we'll do it separately. But the problem we were having is that the female always wanted me or the guy always wanted me, but they would not give the courtesy to Darth. So it's gotten to the point that we've had to make a new rule that Darth gets it first. First, Darth gets a swing by himself, and then I can go ahead and do it just because we've had situations arise in the past.
Gotcha. How about you, Sasha? What was your first lifestyle rule there?
Well, we were very young. Or not young. Not young like Kylie, but we were very naive, is
when
what
we
I meant
were
to say.
Young.
And we didn't really realize we had to establish rules. However, the very first couple we were with did know that we needed to. They had been through this and established their own rules. And before we even met them, they were asking us, well, what are your rules? And we looked at each other and went, oh, rules. We have to have rules.
What are those?
You know, and they, you know, they weren't very pushy or advanced. So the first time we met them, it was just, you know, soft swap, and that's what they had requested. So we were like, okay, we can go with that. And it just kind of came from there. As far as a rule, Rob and I earlier on decided that we still always like same room. He likes to watch. So that was one of our very first rules, that it would never be separate rooms.
Okay. When we got started, we also went into, I mean, we had long conversations about what we were going to be doing and what we weren't going to be doing. And we did decide to be soft swap there at the beginning. But we didn't really think too much about rules for soft swap either. And it wasn't actually until a party came up where we kind of, we had unspoken rules, sort of, like, you know, you're going to ask each other before sex happens, that kind of thing. But then this party happened, and there were a lot of very, very clear gray areas in the discussion before sex and the looking after each other kind of thing. And there were a lot of really big issues after that party. So that was the night we really sat down, and we spent about 6 hours going from a fight to talking seriously to building our rules for going forward. And to date, we've kept probably 70% of them and have jettisoned the rest. Most of them are about courtesy and making sure that not only is the other couple having a good time, making sure that the, you know, your partner's having a good time, because sometimes things happen and you're having fun and you're not paying any attention to your partner, and that's when feelings can get hurt and things like that. What I've seen here, though, in just this little discussion, is that rules often don't get created until there's a need for them, which sort of indicates that you have to make the mistake first before you really realize it's a mistake. What do you guys think about that?
I think that people sometimes coming into the lifestyle that are not very familiar and maybe just starting to explore don't necessarily know, you know, that they need rules. There's that, you know, they don't know what they need to know kind of thing. And it isn't until, you know, something has happened that maybe somebody got upset about that the rules come into play.
Well, you know, I had a similar experience, you know, compared to you, Sasha, where the first couple that we were with had already been through some of the rulemaking and the fight cycles, and so they strongly recommended that, I mean, they were very open and honest, that they strongly recommended we have some discussions about that stuff. And while we had a couple of minor discussions about things that we didn't like, it never rose to the level of, you know, an argument or a blow-up or anything like that. And so,
are you saying you're better than me?
Not at all. I'm saying we learned from our first couple's experience, and you know, and we got good advice from them. So, you know, as people starting out in the lifestyle, if you find that golden first couple that really teaches you, you know, a thing or two about what it's going to be like, one of the most important pieces of advice they can impart on you is, you know, how they figured out how to make their rules and how they figured out what they're comfortable with, so that you guys can do the same thing. So,
some of the rules should be established beforehand. You should definitely do something that you sit down and talk about, which it seems like a lot of us didn't realize the, you know, the rules concept, but especially for those now that are listening that haven't, you know, I'll say taken the dive in yet, rules are a big thing. You're not going to be able to foresee everything. So yes, new rules will eventually be come up as far as a discussion, but there are some rules that need to be established before, so you have some kind of guidance going into it.
When carrying over from the last episode, the soft swap versus full swap is a rule, and it's a rule that can be modified because you may change your mind at some point, but you should look at it as a rule, because that's when you tell, you know, rules are not just about you and your partner. Rules are you and your partner and these other people you're playing with. If your rule is no anal sex, that means no anal sex in any situation until you're willing to break that rule. See, this is the complexity of it all, because you can and do break rules as long as you break them for the right reasons and you break them with consent.
And I think that's one reason why it's important to have a clear delineation of, of real clear-cut rules and have examples of different situations and what you should or shouldn't be able to do in them. I mean, I know that, you know, it's fun to break rules and stuff, but even saying something like, okay, is it okay for him to stick his penis in your vagina? You know, you may have to get a little clinical with it if you're going to have a few more things that you're comfortable and not comfortable with than anyone else. But so yeah, the more rules you have, the more you're going to have to work through to get to them. But it would be helpful to have a very clear-cut discussion of, you know, a lot of different situations you could be in.
Be more restrictive, be more complex with your rules at the beginning, because as you get more comfortable, you won't need the rules as much. But at the beginning, when you're not quite there, when you haven't experienced this stuff fully, that's when the rules are actually important. That's when you need to know, well, what happens if I'm not having fun and she is? What's our rule for that? Does that mean game over, or does that mean she gets to have her fun and I have to sit here and be upset? You know, that's a very common issue in the lifestyle, and that's a very important rule to have.
Part of the rule should be also being open to discussion, not saying that we'll go with the anal sex thing, that partner A wants to and partner B doesn't, and that's the way it's going to be, but at least never, always be willing to discuss it. Don't just, you know, lock it, bar, and say we're never going to discuss it. This is the rule, this is how it's going to be. Not saying that you should always break all the rules, but be willing to discuss the possibility of change and of it happening.
As rules go, I think there's one almost universal rule in the lifestyle, and that would be the safe sex rule. Well, safer sex rule is, because we have to be correct, there is no such thing as safe sex. Condoms mandatory is our number one rule. That's at the top. That's the one that's actually etched into the frame that sits around the paper with the rules. Condoms mandatory. And I think you're going to find that most of the couples you meet in the lifestyle have that condoms mandatory rule. I mean, we all have that rule, right?
Yes.
That's
very what much. I thought.
So that's a great example of a rule that you may not think you need to make that clear and discuss that with the couples you're getting together with, but you ought to just say now, you know, every time we're talking to a couple before we get together, I do throw out now condoms all the time, right? Because if they say no to that, that means they don't always play with condoms, you know, and while they may be clean, there's a far greater chance that they're not clean than those who always use condoms.
Well, you know, I think that, while we're talking about rules here, there's that not often practiced alternative that I thought was kind of interesting. You know, I don't think I'll ever be there, but the where if you're going to kind of commit to another couple and be
you're
able
talking
to be
about
with them,
fluid bonding.
There you go, fluid bonding.
That would be when all four members of a couple get tested, show themselves to be clean, and birth control is being taken care of in other methods, then, yeah, condoms are not necessary in that case, as long as that's an exclusive foursome. As soon as they go outside of that,
you got to retest everything again.
Yeah, and it makes it one of those things that it seems to me it's far more trouble than it's worth.
Well, it depends. It is far more trouble than it's worth if you're, you know, very open as far as you keep wanting to meet couples all the time. But if it gets to the point that, you know, you're very busy and you know what, you like the one couple you're with, you really don't want to, and the other couple the same way, you know, every situation is different. You know, if both couples get to that point that they don't want to do anything, they like this one couple and they just want to stick with that couple, just because it's easier, you know, then...
Well, I agree with that, but you got to look at... There's one other wrinkle in that, and This is trending towards the STI show, so after this we're going to slide on to a different part of the rules. But the wrinkle in that is a lot of STIs will not show up until 3, 6, 12 months after the initial exposure. So the only way you can be certain that that test is accurate for both for all four parties is if all four parties have not had sex with other people for
3 to 6 months.
3 to 6 months at least. And so that just, I mean, that's why I think it's more trouble than it's worth. That's
well, it's a whole nother level of commitment you have to go through, and obviously it has to be a whole nother level of trust. You're not going to do it with a couple that you meet, you know, and get to that point in a couple of weeks. It's just, it's another option, another level of commitment.
And sliding, trending towards polyamory, I'd say.
Yeah.
Sure.
We're going to jump on to a standard base set of rules I think are very common and that are the most important things you should talk about. Obviously, the full swap, soft swap thing was important. One of the other ones, as we found, is the location of play. Is it always in the same room? Is it always in the same room for the actual sex? Is it, this is where the gray areas come in, and this is where it's all about what you're comfortable with, because some people may say that any sort of physical contact, be it kissing, be it touching, needs to take place within viewing distance of the other partner. Other people have no problem with that and just say, oh, well, it's only the sex that needs to be in the same place. Other people, different rooms, doesn't matter. It's just not important to them. So,
do you guys have any of those rules? I don't have any location-based rules, and so I was just curious what the philosophy or the thinking is. Man.
We have location. Rob, part of the whole swapping is that he enjoys to watch me. So it would be a little hard to do that in a different room.
Fair enough.
So you are all same room play.
For right now. It's never come to where it was a different room. You know, it's never been requested and it's never been questioned. So I know he enjoys it, so it's just fine with me. Plus, I like everybody in a pile, and it's hard to do that in a different room.
It does make that far more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
See, and we have several couples who are same room only, and we have several couples who are, I say several twice, it sounds really slutty, doesn't it? We have several couples who are flexible, you know, same room, different room, doesn't really matter. And I've found that in different situations, I like both for very different reasons. As you said, Sasha, I do often like that big pile of people. That's a lot of fun. But the at the same
messes.
Time, I've also found that separate room allows me to really focus on the person I'm with, and sometimes that's really important to me. So it's very situational for us, and a lot of it does come down to what the couple we're with, what their preferences and what their rules are, rather than ours, because we don't specifically have anything regarding that stuff.
Doesn't really sound like a rule, it just sounds like a preference.
But it is a rule for some people.
Not for you.
No, not for me. You're right. It's not a rule in any way. We don't have a rule for that. But rules are often meant to stave off the things that produce jealousy, because, you know, not everyone's able to completely detach from that jealousy. So therefore, if I'm going to worry about what happens in another room when I'm not with you.
With me?
Yes, with you, specifically.
Right.
Then I'm going to make a rule that can't happen. See?
Makes sense.
Hmm. I don't think ours is for that.
Oh, I don't. I'm not saying yours is.
I know. As you were speaking, I was just thinking, is that why we have that rule? And I don't think I do.
Well, but I mean, it seems like your rule is the positive version of that. It's not about
the jealousy.
Worrying about what the other person's doing. It's about wanting to see what the other person's doing.
Yes.
And so rules can go from either direction. And it's not that one is better than the other. It's whatever ultimately makes the comfort level highest for all parties involved. Moving on, party rules are important. If you're going to a house party, you're going to a club, often situational rules come up that are a little bit different than a couple date. You know, you don't specifically have the same sort of playing field, so it's a whole different setup.
Right.
A lot of couples in these situations will allow for certain things to happen just generally at the party without preconceived discussions. Like, you don't have to say, hey, I'd like to go kiss this girl, is that all right with you? That can happen. But should something more important come up, like, I'd like to go fuck this girl, then a discussion probably has to be made in many situations.
Exactly where we are.
That's exactly where you are?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what Tonya and my rules are, so perfect description right there. The kind of rules that you might have to set at a party. For example, you set out a general okay, that it's okay to do pretty much, you don't have to ask to go and kiss somebody. You don't have to ask to, right, so you have a general, you know, you're pretty much free to do anything, but if you want to go and have penetrative sex, gotta let me know. And I mean, that's exactly what I have going on, so.
And that's a good level of rule, because it allows for flexibility, it allows for things to happen, because that's one of the reasons I know we're in the lifestyle, is because we like the spontaneity of things being able to happen and not having to be nervous about them or think about, you know, oh no, what's the other person going to say? What, you know, if you get too hung up on that worry, you lose a lot of the fun.
Well, and you know, having that kind of blanket rule also, for us, it takes care of any potential jealousy. You know, we both go in, we don't go in expecting to play, but we both go in allowing for play. So, for example, if one of us got to play and the other didn't, or didn't get to play all the way or something, we wouldn't feel totally jealous about it. It'd just be, you know, it was a party. It either worked or it didn't work, and, you know, we had a good time, and so it's...
There's always next time.
Yeah, so discussing that ahead of time when we do go to a larger party just makes things easier.
Sasha, I'm curious, because you are the one who's been to the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have specific club rules that might differ from your regular day-to-day date rules?
We don't. You know, and I'm trying to think if we have any rules that would vary from date rules to club rules, and we don't. You know, it's still the same. It's the courteous, you know, as long as, you know, my husband is courteous to me and I'm courteous to him, and, you know, we respect each other, all of our rules are still the same.
Well, that's great. So you found a nice set of rules that work really well for you then.
Mm-hmm. They're very basic rules, you know.
Well, have you found that over the time you've been in, the rules themselves have gotten sort of simpler? You know, when we first started talking about rules, they were very involved, and this happens, and then here's what would happen if this happened. And now they're sort of just a blanket, so this is okay, this we should talk about.
Oh, I don't think we ever got into that. If this happens, then this happens. Then, you know, I don't think we ever got into that. We never did. It was always just, you know, our simple little rules, and that was just it. You know, again, going from being naive that we even needed rules to having some kind of rules and guidelines and just simple things was enough for us. You know, we took our time in the beginning, and it allowed for those rules never to be very, you know, if A, then B, and, you know, that written out.
I'd like to move on to a very important part of the rules discussion, which is what to do when rules are broken.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's an important discussion because rules do get broken. You know, things happen in the heat of the moment and you get caught up and you do things that maybe you regret or maybe your partner doesn't like afterwards. And in that case, these things have to be dealt with, and often, you know, since all these things do involve sex, our societal default is to get really upset and blow up and be jealous and freak out when a specific rule is broken. And kind of, I've found that what you have to do is be able to take an even greater step back and take a really long deep breath and maybe count to 100 instead of 10 and then really just settle for a moment.
Well, it depends on, it depends on what rule is broken. If, you know, in the severity of it. Obviously, if the condom rule is broken, well, that's a big thing. That's, that is where a blowout will happen. But necessarily, let's say if you have a rule, say, don't kiss on the lips. That's something that could easily happen as a rule breaker, you know, that wasn't meant to, isn't as a severity, but is still, you know, a rule that was broken. Then that's when you have to count and sit down and talk about it. Whereas, you know, condom rule is like, oh, well, no, that's very bad.
Well, something else that's important to me is kind of, and this is maybe one of those touchy-feely things, but it's what spirit the rule is broken in. If it is just kind of a heat-of-the-moment thing, and it's not a relatively serious transgression, then it's something that I could pretty easily overlook or forgive. But if it was something that, you know, somebody made a conscious decision of, well, you know what, I can't get to my partner, can't get permission, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and that kind of consideration wasn't given, I'd probably take that more seriously. And luckily, the few times that we've had rule breaking issues, it's been a heat of the moment thing as opposed to a I'm going to try and sneak something in, or I can't get a hold of my partner, so fuck it, I'll just do it.
Well, I would say fuck it, I'll just do it is almost a heat of the moment kind of thing too. The I'm just going to try to sneak it in, that comes dangerously, and we're not just talking about, sneak it in. That comes dangerously close to... You see what I did there? That comes dangerously close to the sort of the same reason cheating is so upsetting in the lifestyle. You know, you have this ability to do things that most people can't do. You have permission to do things that most people don't have permission to do. And you go and do this...
Why would you do this?
It's so much more upsetting. So the I'm going to try to sneak around and hide this thing, that's a very big rule-breaking issue right there.
Well, even a rule-breaking issue as far as the community, I'll say the lifestyle is concerned, is because, let's say, if we as a group, we know a fifth party that's breaking a rule, we're obviously not going to necessarily rat them out, but we're not going to support it. We're going to obviously tell that person, like, hey, we have a good thing going here. You're messing it up by doing this. You need to stop.
Exactly.
Well, there's this perception of people that are swingers. You know, the stereotypical 60s swingers that people have in their heads where, everything's a sexually charged position. Yeah, we're always ready to go. You know, we don't care who it's with, when it's with. And so, and anybody we meet is going to be automatically fresh meat. You know, I had to dispel a few of these preconceptions when I came out to a few people. I mean, it's not like they thought that I thought that, but it's what they thought of when they heard the word swinging. And, I guess on a larger scale, seeing somebody ruin things by cheating, by lying, doing any of that kind of hurts our public image. I mean, if we want to be able to come out in the future as a group, kind of like gay people have been able to, then we're going to have a little bit of responsibility and a little bit of self-policing. And, other than just the lying and cheating thing making you more likely of a person to have an STI or to hurt people or whatever it is, it also makes it harder for us as a group to not be seen as constantly sexually charged, vanilla predators or something like that.
The vanilla predators.
Yeah. we're on the hunt.
Well, something that worked really well for us, just to be able to diffuse major issues, because issues can feel really huge sometimes, is Marilyn and I came up with the get out of jail free card system. And each year we each have a get out of jail free card. And should something come up that's really big and really bad, we present the get out of jail free card. And that's basically I'm calling uncle. Let's sit down and talk.
Did you actually create cards and, write on it, get out of jail card thing on it?
No, the best part is they're in every Monopoly game, so we just took the ones from But it really worked. You know, we had a few instances, especially when we first got in, where there were big arguments, and ultimately it became a, okay, I can sit here and be mad at you, or I can just go right ahead and forgive, and we can have a long discussion over what should be done so this hurt does not happen in the future. And really, right. that's what communication is. It's stepping over the really insane anger and jealousy part and just saying, okay, well, let's talk about this. And the get-out-of-jail-free card was sort of our way of, you know, flying the white flag. So if an argument starts, you can fly that white flag, and it alerts the other person that, okay, yeah, I realize I did something wrong. Let's all calm down and talk about it. And that, I mean, that doesn't work for everybody, obviously, but it worked really well for us.
Now, what happens if you use that one get-out-of-jail-free card and then something else happens?
Well, then you have to decide how to deal with that. The bottom line is, rule-breaking needs to be about communication. Whether it's bad communication for a bad rule, whether it's bad communication leading to a misstep or a broken rule, or whether it's bad communication is just souring your relationship and it leads to something like, I'm going to pretend I didn't remember this rule and sneak this in. You know, all these are warning signs that you need to have more discussions in any relationship, but especially in the swinging relationship.
I wanted to talk about maybe a safety word or something like that, if you guys have ever had one. I can't even remember what ours is at this point. We had one in the beginning. A safety word is what, you know, we had established something that during, you know, a play date or something, if one of us wasn't feeling comfortable and didn't want to pursue it or, you know, something like that, or even if we were all in bed and there was something going on, it was like, hey, you're having fun and I'm not, we can kind of mention this word and that would draw our partner or my partner back to me. You know, he would know, wait, time out, you know, I need to pay attention to her because something's not right. And at this point, I can't even remember what it was, you know, but we had one.
That means you didn't have to use it very often, doesn't it?
No, not lately.
But you know what, at the same time, I think that's something that I might have to talk about with Tonya. I think that's a good idea. I mean, we haven't had too many imbalances where one of us liked the other person a lot and the other didn't, so that it would progress that way. Or, you know, if something bad happened. But that's a good idea. I like that.
And I think it's something that maybe is a good rule for beginners, you know? Because that's when you're going to come across those rules that you didn't know that you should have. And that safety word covers all of those rules that you didn't know you should have, or, you know, those feelings that you weren't aware that were going to come about.
Well, yeah, especially, you know, beginners don't know how they're going to feel about something until they see it. And you know what? It may be the littlest thing in the world, but there may be the way two people touch each other very momentarily, and that is just too much to deal with. And that safety word doesn't have to mean we're pulling out. That safety word can mean, can you just find a moment so we can go and have a little discussion? Because it should never be in a couple situation where you're afraid to excuse yourselves to reconnect with your partner and have a discussion.
Exactly.
And all swingers should be fine with that.
I have a really funny image, you know, a giant group orgy going on, all someone screams banana as a safety word.
which is, of course, Lois and Peter's safety word.
And then you see the random other couple search for a banana.
No, I got it. So what we're all coming down to is that rules are important. Rules help you shape your experience in the lifestyle, but they should be rigid enough so you're comfortable, but they should not be so rigid that you can't have any fun. They shouldn't take all of the spontaneity out of the lifestyle. As always, if you have comments or questions about the show, if you want to write us for advice or want to call us all weirdos and perverts and sinners, you go right ahead. You can contact us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. You can also give us a call at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. This has been Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Thank you guys all for being around here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for swinging by. Thank you.